Everybody, welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And I am Ash Riot.
And we are Hologram.
We are Hologram, and we are a band, and we are a unit of friends and family, and good times, and good music, and recording, and fun. Wow, that was good.
We're a lively bunch.
A very lively bunch.
We're a lively bunch here in spring. Last time we spoke with you, we were sitting in darkness because we were an hour behind us, right? No, ahead.
It's ahead. So weird. It's sunny and pretty. And
I know. It's weird, actually, to do the show with sun. It's been a long time since we've had sun.
Well, it's been a long time because even when we used to do it in the basement, we didn't really see if it was sunny in the summer. So
we're not in the basement anymore. We've actually progressed. We're one level up.
Yeah. There you go.
Slowly but surely, we're making our way to the top floor.
Yep.
So, Ash, how was your week?
My week was, I don't remember. I cut my finger today.
tell them how you cut your finger.
Moving a piece of amethyst rock that was really sharp, and I didn't really know that it was that sharp. And
only Ash can cut her finger on amethyst crystals.
Yeah, that wasn't a fun time. It wouldn't stop bleeding. And then, what else? My week, I don't remember. It was my mom's birthday.
Yeah, it was your mom's birthday.
Happy birthday, Mom.
March 21st. Happy birthday, Janice. Happy belated birthday.
That was fun.
Yeah.
We went to Red Robin.
We had a great time celebrating Janice's birthday. She's 39 again.
She is 39. No, she's 30, actually.
She had you when she was 4.
Yep.
2.
Yep. And that's fine. Everyone knows that now.
There you go.
How was your week?
My week?
Yeah.
My week's been full. You know how it is when people say, you know, what's going on with you, and you kind of blank out, but you know that there's been lots going on? Well, that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's been a week full of celebration. I mean, last weekend we were celebrating your aunt's birthday in West Vancouver, and then we were celebrating your mom's birthday for a couple days, and then today I celebrated my mother's birthday. She was in Arizona for her birthday, and my family had a gathering for her at my bro's house, so we it's been a birthday revelry week.
It has been, hasn't it?
Yeah. A lot of people born this week.
Yeah.
Which I was noticing even on my Facebook page. You know how people prompt and say, hey, it's so-and-so's birthday today. And
yeah.
Then you feel obligated to wish them happy birthday. Not that I don't want to, but there's people that I don't really know personally. So what do you say to people you don't know personally? I just say, happy birthday.
I just say, HB, man.
Is that what you say?
Yeah.
What if it's a woman?
HB, man. Or HB, dude. Or HB,
dude. I don't think you've ever called anybody a dudette.
No, I think everyone's just a dude. Just like that classic song from a classic movie from Nickelodeon, Good Burger. The song, I'm a dude, she's a dude, he's a dude, because we're all dudes.
And then I got the whole polar opposite to you. I'm going, why call, you know, why give the name dude to all you know, gender?
But I am also on the other side of that thinking, why does it have to change for a woman or change for a man?
Well, why
it's
do we take
just
the
dude?
No, okay. So why do we take the man's form more? That's where I go.
Well, then I'll start calling dudes dudettes.
My feminist back goes up.
Well, then I'll just call everyone dudettes then.
Yeah, call all your male friends dudettes and see how they react.
Okay.
See if they if you get any kind of reaction.
That will be my experiment this week
there
and see if any of them even notice.
So maybe in 2 weeks we'll
talk about that.
I bet you'll forget.
No, I won't.
Did you kiss a tree today?
No.
I haven't kissed my tree yet today. I hope you guys have kissed your trees.
I have not.
Yeah, my brother cut down his tree. That was his way of kissing it.
Yeah, kiss it with a chainsaw. Tonight's show is going to be so good, you're going to cry.
Well,
the topic
hopefully
is
hopefully joy tears, not sad tears, or oh my god, I'm suffering tears. Look at that. Don says hi, dude, and Don, we say hi, dudette.
And Cheryl,
what?
What is the show's topic tonight?
Did you forget?
No, I'm just asking you. Just say it. I'll say it.
You say it because I got to go get the enchiladas.
We have enchiladas in the oven. Okay, so tonight's topic is what others say about me is none of my business, or is it? And I really think that that's one of the topics that I've wanted to do but really didn't know how to say it for quite a while, because I truthfully think that there are so many different views on that, whether you know, you don't want to know what people are saying about you, or if curiosity kind of kills the cat, for lack of better terms, and you kind of think later, after you realize what people have been saying, you're thinking, well, maybe I really did not want to know. So tonight we're kind of going to be talking a little bit about that, well, all about that, that's the topic of the show. And also, as we differ from our topic quite often to bring you other news, highlights, and other things, we will probably do that tonight. So if you have anything to say, or you want to call in, or anything like that, I think it would be a blast if you did.
Yeah, blast.
And plus, if you call in, we still have that deal on. So if you call in, or if you don't get to call in, you want to just email us, and if you want some of our songs, we will totally give that to you. But
like, totally, dude.
Like, totally, dude. But I actually want to give you the call-in numbers first, which are right here at my hands. And please call in, because the numbers are, the number is 888-627-6008. Or you can also Skype, and that's just, the Skype name is BBS Radio. So call
Skype
in.
Us.
Call in. You know you want to. It'll be a good time for you. It'll be a great time for us.
And it's free.
And it's free.
It doesn't cost you a thing.
Yep.
Except for the gift of your time and your energy.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really have anything to call in about right now, because we haven't been talking much other than our week. I wanted to mention that I actually heard that. I was saying, actually, I was talking to my family today about the show and telling them where I first heard that. What others say about you is none of your business. That was said to me by a wise guy, and I've talked about him before on the shows. He's my Taoist past counselor, Reg. And it's really cool, because I got a lot of freedom just from that, because I thought, wow, that's really pretty true. We can't really control the amount of gossip that goes on around us. And can you imagine being someone who is a celebrity and in the limelight and seeing themselves on the tabloid, standing in the grocery line, you know, with their personal assistant, with their sunglasses and their floppy hats, and then noticing all of the stuff that's being written about them in the tabloid magazines, and majority of it is untrue and would be construed as, could actually be construed as slander. I know that some people have actually taken tabloids to court because of the things that they've said about them. And then oftentimes it's that freedom of speech that they can't really get around. And so unfortunately people are able to say whatever they wish to based on rumor or based on, you know, out and out lies. And so I've always found it quite fascinating what people talk about and when they talk about other people, and how often we take what is either written or even said to us almost as fact. And I think that most of us have a tendency to think that if something's written or is on television, someone says it, like a newscaster or someone on TMZ says something, that we almost think, well, of course it's true because it's on television. Of course it's true. It's in print. And what I would say to, I mean, I pity the people that go through that, because you must have to have a really hard skin, like a thick
really,
skin.
Yeah, really thick.
And basically live by that. Mm-hmm. What others say about me is none of my business. And it's hard not to let something get to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are just kind of getting to a place of personal responsibility. This is part of my reasoning for discussing this is, you know, where does our personal responsibility lie in terms of what we say about others? And how much is hearsay and how much is fact? And it's so important that, for me personally, that what I say is factual. And most factual things are only from personal experience. So I can only say, yesterday, Ron picked up the blue ball and threw it to Doug because I watched it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if I'm away from the situation and I get the thing that Ron picked up the blue ball and hit, you know, forced it down Doug's throat, causing him to gag, and then he was rushed to the hospital.
Wow. Here's a morbid, a real morbid
because
example.
I'm going to that place of gossip, which is, you know, it's salacious. It's that, you know, and so Aunt Gertrude tells me this based on her experience, not from my direct experience of it. And then, you know, where do I take that?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, about personal responsibility, what is fact, what is fiction, how to determine the difference between the two, and how to allow ourselves to just live our lives without being crippled by what others. I know that there's some people that are literally crippled emotionally and mentally by what they perceive others think about them.
Mm-hmm. I know that too. Like they're just, their lives go around. But you know what? I honestly think that's a lot of Hollywood too. Like I'll relate it to Hollywood, kind of the celebrity status and personal non-celebrity is it's all about the fashion, what people are wearing and worst dressed, best dressed. And here it's kind of the same thing. Like being a person who works with kids daily, because I'm a music teacher, as you know, I see that a lot. Like I've had some, like especially a few students in the past who just cared way too much what others thought of them. And like so far to the point where they'd be so afraid to go to school if they didn't, let's just say, talk to this person and be accepted by this person or, you know, I got to try and be this way so I can hang out with this crowd. And it's like, what? I don't really understand that. Are they so afraid of what those people will think or say about them? That, I mean, I've been there too, but I've never had that mentality. When I was growing up with certain crowds or certain groups. But I think as musicians or celebrities, that can happen quite easily. For me, it really did when I was starting to kind of just come out into my own and do the band thing with the Ash Riot thing before Hologram.
Mm-hmm.
And there was people who said totally, absolutely bad things to my face. And I thought, well, okay, do I take that with me, which I did, and I internalized it, and it hurt so bad. But then I was thinking, well, what are people saying about me behind my back? And I thought, well, if these people are saying this to my face, what could they be saying behind my back? And then I'm thinking, well, I don't really want to know because it's just I'm going to carry it with me. And I think that that's probably one of the hardest things is thinking that you can carry with you. It's kind of like, just like I said before, kind of curiosity killed the cat kind of thing, because I am a sensitive person, and if I know people are talking crap, at a time it really would bother me a lot more. It doesn't bother me as much anymore. So I don't know. I'm kind of on that side of the fence where I don't want to know.
So what others think about you is none of your business. You're quite content with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's sometimes, though, I can honestly say in certain situations that I want to know. Like, say if I'm sending my demo somewhere or something. Or like when we did the John Lennon songwriting competition.
Yeah.
It was really great to know what they thought of us.
And well, definitely. That's a whole different thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah. But, I mean, at the same time, if you do something and like that and you score really low, you kind of want to know, hey, you know, what didn't work for them? Like, maybe you can tell us.
Or... Yeah. I mean, we're talking about being critiqued as artists, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I know that it's important that we allow for criticism and allow for, you know, for bettering ourselves. But we have to be very careful who we trust, because not, you know, that, you know, the story about the Beatles, that there was that record company. It might have even been Decca. I don't remember exactly what record company, but they basically were told that, no, they were passed because they were told there's not enough room. There's too many rock and roll, like guitar based bands.
Yeah.
So this record company, record label, passed on the Beatles, stating that there was too many guitar-based bands and they, you know, I'll take a pass. So we have to be very careful and selective.
Felt, like, imagine how they would have felt.
Who we believe.
Yeah, I know.
You know, in terms... So this is where we need to be pretty strong in ourselves. And this is why self-love is so important for each of us. So mm-hmm. that we have a sense of who we are.
Oh, I agree.
That we can kind of take the criticism that is meant to improve us, not to destroy us.
Mm-hmm, I agree with that. Because it's... I mean, when you're a kid or when even an adult and... There's your peers, not even people that kind of in a higher place of authority in your job or, you know, a record company or something. But your peers, when that kind of turns sour and you're hearing what people are saying, that sucks. Or like, say if it was like an ex-lover or an ex-friend or something and you hear through the grapevine, whatever, that's, you kind of have to use that as your discretion because, you know, you, it's kind of rumor. It's like the telephone game.
Yeah, exactly what I was saying. Like, yeah. it's hearsay as yeah. opposed to actually direct experience coming from your own perspective
mm-hmm.
so that you can report accordingly. That's the whole, yeah. you know, what a journalist is supposed to do is to be unbiased and take a story or take a situation and get the facts, right?
Yeah.
I want the facts, man. Only the facts.
It's kind of funny to see it sometimes.
To see what?
To see, like, how blown up things get. Like rumors and things and how crazy they can get.
And how much of a lie they become.
Yeah. And
like
how,
they're not even anything to do with truth.
Yeah. And then it somehow people halfway across the world can come with, say something to you like, hey, I heard this. You're like, what?
From who? From where?
And they're already in their minds deciphering it as truth because they heard it. And then they come to the source and you're like, no, but they're convinced it's the truth already. And you're kind of like, well, I think I know my own life, and I think I know my own circumstance.
And this is where we need to get the freedom from not being concerned about what other people say or mm-hmm. attempt to do in terms of, you know, spreading rumor or lies mm-hmm. About any of us. Being able to truly separate ourselves and going to that place of it's none of my business and turning a blind eye consciously, not unconsciously, but consciously saying, yeah. I'm not going to. I liked what you're sharing earlier because you're basically being very honest and straightforward. If they can say these things to my front, what are they saying behind my back? And do I want to know it? No, I don't. You made a conscious decision not to delve deeper.
Exactly. I mean, even if there's lots of people saying good things, which would probably feel pretty nice to say, you can kind of, you're either deciding, okay, well, I have to have enough confidence in myself that I don't need necessarily to hear all this good stuff that people are saying because it's going to come with bad too. It could.
But it all does. I think, I don't know who said it, but someone was saying, I actually posted this recently, I believe on my Facebook page, that you don't want to believe the criticism just as much as you don't want to believe the praise because mm-hmm. both are inflated.
Yeah.
So coming back to the middle, not ever getting too caught up in needing another person's praise, nor getting too caught up in them, the criticism and feeling low and having a low sense of self and devaluing what it is you're doing or who you are.
Yeah.
So finding that kind of happy medium, just knowing, again, the happy medium is coming back to yourself,
mm-hmm.
coming back to a place of knowing yourself, to thine own self be true.
Yeah.
Because even if someone were to say, and I've had this happen, and it's actually shocked me. I've been in situations where I've been completely and utterly shocked by what people will say and what they will do, and it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, I know.
And everything to do with them, yeah. But others don't see that.
I know.
Others are kind of, you know, it's like you're kind of being thrown into the fire, and it's not even your fire.
I know.
It's their own drama. It's what if they have an ends to, you know, they have an intention. What is their intention? They have an intention in mind and they just sort of just decide that you're part of that intention and they'll take you down with it. And that shocks me. I can't believe that human beings would treat each other so maliciously. It just shocks me. But then after the shock, I get angered by the injustice of it. And this is not even just my own life is just a microcosm of what we do to each other on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You think about what's going on in India right now.
I know.
With the rape of that girl on the bus, the gang rape while the bus driver was driving the bus, she was raped and, you know, just completely brutalized in horrific ways to the point where it caused her death. And then the Swiss woman and her husband were cycling and, he gets tied to a tree and she gets raped while he's there and watching. And what is it in a culture, any culture, that says that this is okay? That's sort of just another, to me, it's just another, obviously they don't view women the same way they view themselves. Mm-hmm. It's, we all know and understand that rape is a crime of power and control. It's not an actual sexual crime. It is a sexual crime, of course, but that's not usually the motivation. The motivation, and studies have proven this, is about power and control. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same thing. I mean, you know, Kurt Cobain's song, Rape Me.
Yeah.
What about that song? That was all about what people would say about him.
Yeah.
Right? So it's another way that we actually cause that much harm. Look at the people that are killing themselves because of bullying.
I know.
And where does that come from? That stems from someone saying something, making someone feel small, a sensitive person, a sensitive being, mm-hmm. being bullied to the point where they don't even value themselves and they don't think that there's anything to live for. That, to me, again, is the same thing. This all stems from us being cruel to each other with our words, and then we become cruel to each other with our fists, with our bodies.
I know. And that's,
it all just ties together.
You know what I find? Well, first I'm going to give a good thing, and then I'm going to relate to what you just said. But I wanted to announce that our website's up.
Yeah.
Our new website that was redesigned and...
by Ash.
Yes. And our other website, our Girl Grooves, our DJ company, the offshoot of the Spin Doctor DJ, which is my dad's company, girlgrooves.com, which Cheryl built, is up. So we have a new hologram site, which is www.holo-gram.com. Everything's working finally. Yay. And we're going to be doing a vlog tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah.
And
it's been a long time since we vlogged. We had the intention of being very frequent, but life just mm-hmm. got in the way.
And we've been hacked by like a Russian drug company or something. And it's just been so insane. So our vlog and our blog is now going to be external. So we're using Tumblr. So I wanted to tell everybody about that and also relate that to online bullying, because I made a comment once and I said, there is never, ever, ever, ever going to be peace in the world, because you look at YouTube and it doesn't matter. It could be just a band song. And there's like 10 pages of just people hating on each other. Like you said that, oh, you're such a moron. I can't believe you thought it was from that album.
That's even,
you
know, being
go
kind.
Die. Go
they,
die.
Exactly. They do more than call each other morons.
It's horrible how people interact with each other. I hate
it. When it's a stranger.
Well, that's why intentionally I've made every single one of our vlogs completely uncommentable.
So you cannot comment.
You can't comment on
even if
of
you
our
wanted
vlogs.
To say we're really great, you can't comment.
You can't comment. Email us if you want to.
Yeah.
I just don't like having that forum out there for people.
I don't either.
Yeah,
I don't agree with it. And I mean, maybe someone might look at us and go, well, you're artists. You're supposed to be pro freedom of speech. I'm pro freedom of speech, but I'm also pro what is just and what is unjust.
It's,
and
it's
I'm
just
not
being
going
smart
to,
about it, yeah.
I'm not going to support morons, quite frankly. I mean, you
it
might be
awesome.
Out there.
Cheryl Catherine Smith's new quote. I'm not going to support
morons.
Cheryl Catherine Smith.
I definitely don't. I mean, if someone comes from a lower place in terms of they wanting to cause harm to others, then forget it. I just have no tolerance. No tolerance.
So call in and let us
Zero.
Know how you have tolerance or don't have tolerance, because we love to hear from you. And I mean, just the feedback from you is important to us. So 888-627-6008. And we know you are listening and we would love to hear from you.
Yeah, don't be afraid. I've had actually people tell me they've listened to the show, but they didn't want to call in because they were nervous.
I've had people too. Everyone's nervous to call in.
I keep saying we won't bite you.
Yeah, we won't bite.
No, we might, you know, bark, but we won't bite.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back onto our topic. So what other people say about you is none of your business, or is it? Now, where I feel it is our business is if it is intentionally causing us harm and it might be impeding or getting into our relationships. And this is where I kind of draw the line. And I've actually called people on some things. Whether or not they care is a whole other issue. But I think we do have a personal responsibility to take care of ourselves. And if we feel that someone's out of line and it's causing us harm, if they're, you know, being
intentionally malicious towards us, I think there's nothing wrong with us saying, calling it out, calling them on their bullshit, as it's known. But again, that being said, it doesn't mean that we're going to get the intention. You know, our intention might be to bring truth and to sort of call someone out on something and say, why are you saying this? Why are you doing? Why would you do that? It makes me feel angry. It makes me feel hurt. And then they could just say, yeah, so.
Well, that's why I'm proud of my mom, because even with a certain situation that happened over her birthday, of her really close family member just totally disregarding her birthday. And that really sucked. And like, it's like part of me is thinking, well, what are people saying behind our backs? What are they saying? Like, you know,
why would they do that?
Why would they do that? But then my mom's saying, no, I'm going to stand up and tell that person that really hurt me. And that wasn't cool at all.
Yeah. Instead of speculating, there are times we're called to call a spade. And there are times when it's better just to let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah.
Right?
Let them lie.
But that's the thing, is each of us have to determine what is the better course of action. But I do think there's a great freedom in our ability to let go of what other people think about us. And getting back to the Beatles, if the Beatles had put everything, their whole career, and if they had based it on that one record label's rejection letter, I mean, the world wouldn't have the Beatles. If Vincent van Gogh had said, I'm going to stop painting because I've only sold two paintings in my entire lifetime because basically the art community is saying I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. If he had allowed that rejection, that blatant rejection at the time that he was painting, if he had said, I'm not going to paint anymore, then we wouldn't have this fantastic art. So this is where we each, not only as artists, but each of us, need to find that inner core, that inner strength that resides within every one of us, where we follow our path, we follow our intuition, our guidance, and we don't listen. There's oftentimes, in my blog, I'm gonna direct you all back to the website, because one of the things is, as Ash said, is we have the Tumblr now for our blog, and I wrote about Julia Cameron's book, An Artist's Way. And it's a huge book for me. I read it probably about 14 years ago. And in my blog, you can read more about what I say here. But she does talk about how some people are just criticizing us for the sake of criticizing us. It doesn't even have any merit based in what is true. You can deal with a lot of people who are maybe flagellating, you know, they don't like themselves. They feel that they're frustrated artists, or that they didn't have their due. And instead of supporting and nurturing other people, they just kind of lash out. And there are a lot of people like that. In fact, I've been married to them.
That's true. But
God bless.
But yeah, I mean, I think that the more people we kind of get in contact with, like, I love the bumper sticker. The more people I meet, the more I like my cat. Because that's truly my life. I love my cat. And because of all the different people I meet, it makes me love my cat even more. So, because my cat, you know, he doesn't talk about me.
Maybe, well, you don't know. He might be talking to your other cats in the house about you.
But the only thing he'd say is, will she just put me the hell down?
No. He's saying, I'm really pissed off at that new dog, Travis.
Yeah. That new dog, Travis, is giving me a run for my money. He sits on the couch and, yeah.
He's taken over the house and I can't even have the hugs that I used to have.
I know, when Travis comes to visit at my parents' house, Mushu is not that happy. But Mushu has been coming around lately.
I noticed that.
So if he, you know, he's let some things go. He's let some things go.
Yeah. But, I mean, getting back to just, again, personal responsibility, knowing when to kind of take something as criticism that is something that is for our benefit, that will help us improve, and when to disregard the criticism because it comes from a place where someone themselves has issues, and it's really more about themselves than it is about you. Yeah. And it's not going through life saying everything is everyone else's fault, because, you know, I know from personal experience, I mean, I did that for many years. I was the blame game. You know, I blamed all sorts of things for my situations in life. And it wasn't until I actually took personal responsibility and started looking at my own part in everything, because I was forced to, in a really great way. Even in relationships, and I kind of, you know, offhanded said that about being, you know, in marriages, but never mind marriages, it's even friendships. You know, not all friendships have, you know, there's seasons for everything. Mm-hmm. You know, we take what we learn from each person, we recognize where we probably could have improved, and we see where we feel that we didn't get the nurturing that we needed or deserved or whatever it is. But it always comes back to self. What is it that is best for us in everything? Mm-hmm. So this is where I'm coming from. I think we are a society that if you were to read the paper and listen to the news and watch the news, we are very preoccupied with how we're perceived. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to present ourselves. I mean, I taught modeling and personal development for years, and part of it was etiquette classes and, you know, how we should sit at the table and how we should eat and, you know, what's proper etiquette.
She makes me use a knife.
That's right. Don't push your food on with your fingers. I mean, these are things I think I like manners.
I like manners too.
I wish people wouldn't have forgotten about the thank you note. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. saddened that we've become such a technologically, is it savvy or not, society where most of us even forget just to be gracious enough to say thank you, mm-hmm. Even with a note and, you know, pop something in the mail. I don't know. I miss a lot of stuff. There's
me too. I miss cassettes.
Well, you still have them.
I know.
And you still can make mixtapes.
I know, but I miss going into, like, see, I was thinking about this the other day, side note, that I'm so lucky to have been old enough. Like, I feel sorry for kids nowadays. I'm so happy that I was old enough to see the rise of mixed CDs. Because I still like mixed tapes. I like cassettes. I like having to work to listen to the music, to rewind it, to do all that stuff. Now people just pop it in their computer, put whatever songs they want on. It's like, you don't appreciate it. Like, I love making mixtapes where you can actually go through your CDs or whatever you have.
Your record albums.
Even record albums. And put
your vinyl.
Yeah, your vinyl. And put them on. It's like, you have to sit there for 90 minutes while it's being made. It's a labor of love. People. Seriously. Start making mixtapes. Go get a cassette tape. Even just listen to some tapes. Tapes are better than CDs.
Well, I think you're talking about it's more of an experience.
No. That too.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, okay, so let's just talk from an artistic perspective. When you have a computer, you've decided, okay, I've got a CD. It's 70 minutes long or 74 or whatever. Well, it depends on the CD.
Most are 80.
So say 80, but you've got, what, 74 minutes?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
See, I know some of my stuff.
You have
74, but then you've got the spaces in between,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So here we go.
Okay, yeah.
So you can pop everything in your computer. You say, okay, I like this song, this song, this song. And your computer is telling you how much space you're using. It's telling you exactly how much of a gap between songs you're going to allow for. It's definitely convenient. But it sort of takes away the tactile.
Yeah.
Tapes, it's very tactile. And so there's kind of both. We've become a society that wants things and then we want it now. Mm-hmm. And some of us don't care if we're going to take someone else down getting it. And that's where the, you know, talking about them or trying to cause harm, you know, to get other people not to like them, which has been my experience too, where people I trusted have said really, really dark, negative things about me that had nothing to do with who I am just because they wanted to ostracize me. They wanted, you know, my friends not to like me. And it's upsetting. And you know what upsets me even more is that these same people, my friends or who I felt were my friends, didn't even bother to pick up the phone ever to call me and say, hey, Cheryl, I heard this. Is it true? Or, hey, Cheryl, yeah, I know. You know, this is, and I'm thinking, you guys are my friends.
Or I heard this happened. How are you doing?
I know, but then again, you know, you kind of go, thank you, universe, for, you know, just kind of doing the weed whacking thing, you know, mm-hmm. getting people out of the way. Bless you all. But the ones that really aren't truly
sometimes
nurturing.
I don't want to say bless you. I'll say it later, but at the moment, sometimes I'm like.
No, I'm like that too, but I do want to stay in the positive. Word, I know. Well, we wrote a song called F you asshole, bless you too.
Now, speaking of songs, will you sing the song?
What song? Oh, okay. Are you ready? One, two, three, go. What? I'm going first. Yeah. I need you to play guitar.
Ash's mom, Ash's mom.
Hey, 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 it's Ash's mom. Ash's mom, Ash's mom. Hey, 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 it's Ash's mom. Yeah.
On line one, hello, Janice Schramm.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you, Ash's mom?
Well, I have something to say about what you're talking about. And this goes back to when Ash was probably in grade five. And there were these girls that came into the school, and they were bullies. And they were transferred from one school into where she was going to school because they thought, well, this will be a better school, so these girls will learn something here. And these girls, they weren't very nice. They were bullying Ash, and they were bullying some other girls in the class. And Ash would tell me about it, and I'd wait to see what she was going to do about it, and she didn't do anything. She just kind of let it go, you know, like you don't, you know, what you're saying is that people, it does, you know, what people say about you doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So anyway, she was living by that philosophy, and I'm just waiting and watching off to the side. And these girls turned around, and they really started bullying this other girl. So the mother of the other girl phoned me and said, you know, Lisa's being bullied at school. And she told me the story, and I said, well, same girls with Ash. So we waited to see what our girls would do. And again, they, you know, kind of, you know, left things alone, and it started to get really bad. They started really, you know, hurting the girls. So one day I was having a really bad day, so I came to the school, and I waited in the hallway after school for these girls to come outside. And when they came outside, I asked them if they had a problem with her, and they started backpedaling and everything, and I says, you know, just leave her alone or else I'm going to have to go to the teacher. So I left them, and then afterwards, I heard that these girls were in the assembly, and they were talking, well, we're not afraid of her mother, and they were, you know, like, acting like the tough girls that they were. So then I went to the principal, and this is how he handled it, and really a wise, wise man. He didn't like anybody being bullied or pushed around or talked about. Like, even the kids, when they got their report cards, they weren't allowed to open them on school ground because then they'd start comparing, and the one that wasn't doing so good would feel bad, so they'd have to take their report cards home to open them. So anyway, we met in the office, and the two bullies were there, and Ash was there, and Lisa was there, the other girl being bullied, and there was one more girl that they were using as somebody that was neither way, with on one side or the other. This other girl was friends with everybody.
Yeah.
So he decided to get each girl to write down what was bothering them about the other. And he, on a piece of paper, they put it into a hat, and then they could draw out a piece of paper and read it and explain themselves, and as long as they didn't read their own. So they did this, and the two bullies, when it came time to reading Ash's and Lisa's, because that's the ones they picked, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. So to me, what that kind of, I don't know, it just showed me that these two girls were very insecure. And that's why they were doing what they were doing, that they were, you know, trying to act tough. So what you have to do is you have to confront things. You have to, if you are being talked about or bullied and you can see it, you should confront the person and find out why they're doing it, like in certain situations. And that's what happened there. they were confronted, and we found out, you know, and this was a valuable lesson for the girls to learn, that these girls were insecure, and they were in this school, and they decided to you know, push their weight around so that they wouldn't be bullied, because that's what happened in their last school, that they were bullied there. So anyway, that's my piece of advice. You got to confront these people. You have to find out why they're talking about you, why they're bullying you, like why, and it put a stop to it. Like if it continues, like, you know, sometimes it's none of your business, but if it continues and if it's your kid, boy, I tell you, the mother bear takes over. So that's my philosophy. Ta-da.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing.
That was great. I like the ta-da part.
Yeah, well, now that I embarrassed you, Ash.
Oh, you didn't embarrass me.
You know, as you're speaking, Ash saying she even remembers, I mean, this is grade 5 or 5th grade. She's even remembering the name of the girls. She's saying
them too, but I'm not mentioning their names.
She did.
I know their last names too.
I know you do, and so do I, but I'm not mentioning it.
Yeah, they sucked. I remember. Like, I was left alone pretty much, but they
didn't bother you again, did they?
No, and even one of them apologized to me all the way, like, into grade 12.
Wow.
There you go.
Well, there's a success story then.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to, you know, when you see something like that, and that's what I did with Ash. I said, until you decide to stand up for them, I will come into your school. And she was, oh, how could you do that? How could you talk to those girls? And I said, until you can stand up for yourself and you can confront them, I'll keep doing it right up to grade 12 if I have to. And right after.
That sounds almost like it's a threat.
It was a threat. I used to threaten her sometimes. I said, I'm going to, you know, she was talking about something. I says, okay. I said, that's it. I'm going to come, you know, in the middle of the afternoon to your school, and I'm going to do wheelies in the parking lot, and I'm going to scream your name. No, no, don't do that. Don't do that. I said, well, then you got to look after what you have to look after there at school. And then she would. So, but she, you know, she turned out pretty good.
She did, and I mean, that's...
And she does. She stands up to people, and she's learned these lessons. And she's learned a lot from you, too, Cheryl. And she tells me that all the time, and I'm grateful for that.
Well, I learned a lot from her. I learned a lot from you. We learn from each other. I like that.
Yes, we do.
Saying we're at every time we're all masters, we're all students. That, you know, the times when I'm a master, times when I'm a student, and vice versa, right?
Yeah,
yeah. And that's sometimes when you really do have to confront something and you have to say it, and it does become your business. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. I have a situation where, and I think I've shared this story before. I don't even know if I told you this, but. Back, I had a neighbor years and years ago. It was late. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and I heard this, like, crying of a child, and it was quite loud. And so I'm going, what's going on? And I opened my back door, and I noticed the neighbor kitty corner to me. There's this young boy standing outside. I went to the back of my fence just to see what's going on, because he was weeping, and he was crying, and let me in. And I'm watching these two people, this obviously his parents, this mother and father, behind their French doors, just, you know, they'd open it a crack and say, until when you learn, and we'll let you in, and shut the door. And he's saying he was going to kill himself. Now, this is a young boy.
Oh, my God.
He's weeping, and I said, what's going on? And the mother told me, this is none of your effing business. And I said, you've made this my effing business. And I proceeded to phone the police, and also a friend of mine who was in child, she worked with children in Child Protective Services. She gave me a phone number. And I do truly believe that in situations where we are in the midst of something that's going on that is against a person's human rights, or we're concerned about someone's safety. I was concerned about this young boy. He must have been about 10, if that. Like, he's little, saying he wants to be dead and he's going to kill himself. And I take that seriously. And so I think that you're in a situation, even if it's your daughter, but you're even thinking this Lisa girl,
you're presented with it. It happens right in front of you. And I feel very much that each of us are called to do something when it's in front of us. And this sort of goes back to what I was saying about, you know, when it's actually factual, when it's happening in front of us, we can very much immerse ourselves in it and say, this is happening. And what am I going to do about it? You know, how many people, there's that story from many years ago, I think it's probably even in the 60s even, or the 70s, where there's a woman in New York and she was literally being murdered and crying for help. She was being stabbed and nobody went to her aid because most people think, oh, well, someone else will take care of it. I don't want to get involved. And how horrible, you know, if something's happening in front of us, you know, we're not going to be stupid and put ourselves at risk or danger or try not to. Some of us have to, and things turn out okay. And some of us, you know, perhaps they don't turn out okay. But I do feel that we need to take more responsibility as to what's happening around us. Just because it's not our own child doesn't mean that child isn't ours, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I do believe that very much, that we've forgotten how connected we truly are. We choose to say, no, I'm separate. You're not my family. You don't belong to me. I don't have to get involved, or it's none of my business. And I don't think that that's correct. I think when we're in situations that something is made our business, that we have a responsibility to do something.
Yes.
So I like what you did, and you're funny. I mean, you're kind of like me. You've raised Ash very much the same way I've raised my son, where I'm going, okay, well, you know, I'd rather you do it, but if you don't do it, this is what's going to happen.
Yep.
You know, crazy mom, and you don't want to, you know, don't want your friends to think you have a crazy mom.
Oh, crazy mom. There was once there was like, you know, parent teacher, and this was in grade two. And I was rushing around, you know, it was at night. You have to go and talk to the teacher and everything and bring your kid, and they're going to show you their work and everything. And I show up, and I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to the teacher, and Ash is going, Mom, I was cleaning, and I had the tea towel hanging over my shoulder, and I put my coat on, and I'm sitting there with the tea towel hanging out.
There you go.
Mom.
Well, at least you weren't wearing your house coat, you know?
Yes, yes.
And your PJs. And
so I'll leave you guys with that, and we will talk again soon.
Thank you. Ash's mom. Thank you. Ash's mom.
We love you. Thank you.
And I love you more.
We love you.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's good. See, we get a little insight into Ash's life.
Yeah.
Thanks to Ash's mom.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah.
So how do you feel?
Great. I have an awesome mom and awesome dad. And I definitely, it's a trip down memory lane thinking about high school and elementary school.
And that's really sad how when you're a child, you know, you just think about the bullying and you think about how mean kids are. And I'll never forget, like, it doesn't matter what generation we're from. We all have the same issues with peers. And I'll never forget how much I just didn't want to even be on the radar as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would rather just kind of blend into the background. Like, I didn't want people to focus too much on me in any way. You know, because I didn't want the attention. I didn't want to have to deal with, that stuff when boys are, you know, someone has a crush on you. And, you know, instead of saying, I have a crush on you, I like you, here's a flower, they're chasing you with staplers and trying to staple your body.
Yeah, I know, totally.
You know, and that's kind of wacky, crazy stuff. So, yeah, try to be on the little bit on the down low there.
On the down low, low down.
Yeah, low down, down low.
Yeah. You know what I noticed that a lot of, truthfully, I actually noticed that the most talking behind people's backs, etc., happens in groups and not so much just like
one-on-one.
Yeah, like whatever, like in churches and whatever. It's just there's, no matter how good intentioned your faith or organization might be, it just seems like it's, I just can't. I like to be a loner if I could help it, you know? Like,
Well, that's so you can create. But no, you're right. A lot of times people will get together in groups. And I'll never forget Marianne Williamson, who I've talked to before. You know how you say you know her quotes and you really don't, but you say you do?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. She's there are men, he pipes in the sewer system of love. Let's not forget that.
She's the woman who is known for being the proponent for the Course of Miracles, the Course in Miracles, and that was based in California. And there's a long story. Some of you might have even have done the read the book Course in Miracles, or have done the book workbook. And anyways, one thing that I'll never forget her sharing, because I've listened to a lot of her tapes, I think she's a pretty cool lady, is she talked about wanting to have discretion and wanting to be a person of discretion, which is kind of the same thing. Like, even we can do a blatant lie about someone, but we can also share something that was supposed to be indiscretion. Like, we're not supposed to be sharing it. I think that that's just as damaging.
Yeah.
To share something that has been maybe given to you in confidence, or, you know, if someone says, please don't tell somebody, that means please don't tell somebody. Unless, of course, they're saying, please don't tell someone, but I'm going to kill myself tonight. Yeah. Now that's a whole different thing.
That's a total, you know, that's, whole different thing.
You know, that's a cry for help, and you're going to get involved and try to help this person. But if there's something that's said in confidence, and she said there's a situation where she was speaking with her family, and she had her back turned, and she was saying something that had been given to her in discretion, and while her niece came in. And heard.
Oh, yeah.
And so have you heard this tape?
No, but I've heard this happening. Like,
well, yeah. So anyway, so then she's saying how she felt so badly, even in that situation. And does it mean, you know, being spiritual is also, you know, for us to be discreet and to honor each other's feelings and to honor each other's wishes and to guard each other and make sure that we don't cause harm to someone. And she said in that moment, she recognized how the faux pas that she had done and the importance of discretion, the importance of being careful what we say, being careful who we say it to, being careful in what situation we're saying it in.
Yeah.
I kind of like to think oftentimes when I'm talking, I'll imagine other people being able to hear me.
Yeah, I do that too.
Because then it makes me temper myself.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
I think, okay, well, if I can say this in this setting, and I've got Joe Blow, who's outside, and he can actually hear me, and he doesn't know who I am, is he going to say, wow, what's that about? What's she talking about?
I know.
Talking all that crap about somebody for, right? So I'm careful
that way. And
it's how
you deal with it. Like, I just got a text from one of my students who's listening to the show. So many people are too shy to call in, but he said, for the show, and he said, I deal with people talking behind my back or not being kind by getting even with them and giving them a taste of their own medicine.
Well, I mean, there's always the old, good old, you know, old-fashioned revenge.
I know. Yeah, totally.
But I mean, I think that's also something that can come back to bite us, too.
I've done that before, though, but in a kind way, almost. Like, I've
kind,
just,
malicious way?
No, not even malicious, just kind of setting it up like they're kind of found out.
Well, I think that's the best way to do it, is to allow them to sort of you know, make themselves known.
Yeah,
if you can do that
without
looking like you're being bitter and malicious, and you know, I don't know. It's, I don't think revenge. I'm a Scorpio. I'm known for being like the ultimate.
And, I know.
You know, don't mess with me. And there has been times in my life where I've gone to that darker parts of my own psyche, thinking you're not going to get me, and I prefer not to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to be the type of person to have faith in a bigger picture because I do. There's a lot of stuff that's gone down where there's a part of me that I'm thinking that is so unjust, that is so unfair, that is so wrong, and that goes against everything that I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me so angry, and I want to do something about it. But then there's a part of me, there's a great freedom in being able to say, you know what? They got to live with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, there's some people that are actually psychotic or sociopaths where they don't care either way, but that's not a great percentage of our population.
Yeah.
We don't have a great percentage of true psychopaths or sociopaths who really don't have a conscience and don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe in the web that is all of us connected together.
Yeah.
I do believe, I totally believe in karma.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think of karma as something as, you know, you do something wrong, karma will bite you. I think of karma as you yourself, you cause a harm, and that harm comes back in your own self.
Yeah.
It's not like it's even like, outside.
Exactly, exactly.
It's even just even the way you, you know, your the quality of life you have.
Yeah.
Or your internal dialogue or who you are when it's quiet and no one's around. What is that inner voice saying?
Well, my mom always told me that if you can rest your head at night and not have any, not feel bad about anything that you've done during the day or whatever, or, you know, you can just rest peacefully, that's the greatest gift. And I think so too. Like if I can just fall asleep and be happy, or not even be happy, whatever, just know that you did your best and that you weren't an ass. Even if you were an ass, just discover that you were and try and rectify it the next day.
Or even if you don't rectify it, you just the self-awareness of knowing that you were an ass can sometimes be enough. And I know it sounds kind of corny, but it's true.
Uh-huh.
I feel very strongly you're right. That's great. If you can be at peace with who you are and what you've done. But you know what? There's some things. Marianne Williamson says this too.
I know.
In every moment. Yeah, yeah. You know. She says that tongue in cheek because she doesn't know. But it's if so you funny. Know every, in every moment that you're doing the best that you can. I mean, I'm not the same person today that I was 10 years ago. I've learned some things in the last 10 years that maybe I've improved certain things about mm-hmm. myself. So I can't go back 10 years ago and you know, kick myself for doing things wrong.
Yeah.
I did the best with what I knew how. I did the mm-hmm. best with who I was. I did the best with my circumstances and situation.
Yeah, I know.
So being kind to yourself, there's that aspect of self-forgiveness that's so vital.
So if you could say, if you would want our listeners to go away with one thing from the show, what would it be?
Oh, one thing?
Yeah, just like a main moral of the story.
I think the moral of the story is that we have to not only be kinder to each other, but also to ourselves.
That's true.
I think, I really do think it's just about a lot of us, like your mom was saying, those girls were being bullies because mm-hmm. they had no self-esteem.
Yeah, I know.
So that's because they weren't being kind enough to themselves, that they lashed out. Most of us are like that. So I think that we have to be kind to ourselves. I think we have to be accommodating. I let go of the perfectionism, let go of the self judgments, let go of religion, man.
Yeah. I
mean, this is a whole thing, and you guys, whoever's, you might be pissed off at me right now, but I really feel that certain philosophies, religions, you know, they are all about, you know, if a religion tells you were born a sinner,
that's not,
you got nowhere to go from there.
Well, that's why I think let go of religion, but hang on to faith.
Yeah, and trust, and a connection to a greater, to God, or whatever you choose to call it.
Because religion, like, that's the last place I'd ever go to feel love. Like, it is. Like, I wouldn't, it's not, sure, there's great people in religious
sects. Of course, because their hearts are pure.
Full of that, but it's the overall aspect of it that scares the crap out of me, and I want to run.
Because it's not about love. You know, most religions, you know, we want to bring us all back to love.
We kiss trees.
We do, for real.
We do.
I even kissed my plant not that long ago.
She did. I killed plants by accident.
I was watering my plant. Let me touch them. And I decided that my plant needed a kiss.
So. I seriously can't take care of plants. Anyway, we love you very much, and we're glad that you've listened to this show. Please send us some feedback. Email us. We have a new email address. hollow-gram@outlook.com.
That is correct.
And email us, say hello, say yo, check out our new website, check out the Girl Grooves website.
I want to say something too. We don't have to go off right at 8 because we don't have a show after us. And we thank Don for letting us run longer. But I do want to mention that the intention is we're going to be doing television and radio at the same time. I've set something up with Ustream. And I'm kind of getting Ash on board.
I like to sit here in my pajamas.
You're not in your pajamas, though.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
I am, sort of. Well, no, I'm in my comfy clothes, and look at my hair.
She needs a haircut. But anyway, that's the intention, is we'll just be combining the radio show with television, and you'll be able to watch us on TV. And I'll give you more information about that when it happens on our new designed
holo-gram.com website. So check it out. Look at our vlog, We're going to vlog later. You can't even tell the difference.
We're going to vlog tomorrow. I'm not ready.
All right. She's not ready. She doesn't feel pretty enough.
No. My hair.
So we're going to say goodbye. Good night. Thank you for listening to our song. What others say about us is none of our business, or is it? Be kind to yourselves. Be kind to each other. Kiss trees. Go
it's
out in nature.
It's time for enchiladas.
Go hang out by a beach and just be. We love you.
We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.